Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
As a younger believer, I remember hearing the words of the spiritual, were you there when they crucified my Lord? And some of the other lines were you there when they laid him in the tomb? And so I always kind of wondered what it would be like to see some of the events. And as you read some of the gospel accounts of what was happening that day, and where Jesus talked about Peter and would betray him so many times, and the disciples would turn away, and you encounter various Christians through the years that go, well, if I was there, I would never do that. But we're all the same. And if we were literally faced with those events, what would our reaction be? And that's kind of where this poem is coming from today. And I just kind of want to give some verses, some of the context when they went to Gethsemane. And just as I read these things, and then as I read the poem, and later as Pastor preaches, just think about what would you do if you were there? Like, just as a possibility, like if you've never heard the gospel before, you've never heard what Jesus went through for you, as you're hearing it today, what do you think? What's your response? In Mark 14, it says, "And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I pray, while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy." And it's kind of interesting, the word heavy there, Strong's Concordance says it's out of the three main words used in the New Testament for depression, burden, heaviness, it's the one expressing the strongest, the most oppressive. It's kind of interesting, Gethsemane means oil press or olive press. And if you look up how the Israelis made their olive oil, it's interesting. There's three times the olives are pressed. And from the pressure of the, first of all, just the baskets, the heavy weight, but then they add more and more rocks onto it afterwards to squeeze out more oil. But they do it three times. And there's three times where Jesus was praying in the garden. He came back to the disciples. And so it's just kind of an interesting parallel. He said unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." And what that's talking about is the cup of God's wrath for our sin. There's a punishment. There's a cost for sin. And but that's the reason Jesus went to the cross. He went to pay our sin debt so that we can be forgiven. We can have a fellowship with God the Father. And he said, "Not what I will, but what thou wilt." He was, as a human, he was God and man. But he had to become a man to experience everything that we went through, to go through the events of the cross, to experience all, and then to experience God's wrath as well, so that we don't have to face it if we accept him. And it says, "And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, said unto them, Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again, when he went away and prayed, and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy." And the idea there, when you look it up, they weren't heavy because they were tired. It's like a spiritual oppression. They were worn out. They were mentally and emotionally worn out by all the events, by everything that Jesus is telling them, what's going to happen in the next few hours. They were so overwhelmed. And think about if you've ever been depressed, one of the ways we kind of cope is we sleep. And that's, they were so overwhelmed. Jesus came back wanting their support, and they're sleeping. It was easier for them to sleep than to stand, watch, and pray. And for their eyes were heavy, neither knew they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, "Sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand." And it's interesting, all three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're called the Synoptic Gospels because they look at something from the same perspective. They cover the same events. John covers some stuff that's a little different. But Luke, he presents Jesus more from the human perspective, from looking at his humanity, and it gets into a little bit more of what he went through that day, and it's kind of interesting. Luke 22, and he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray ye that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. What he went through was so strong, so traumatic, that God actually had to supernaturally sustain him during that time. And then it says, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And it's kind of interesting. I was reading some commentaries, and some of them, they like to explain this away. He was just overwhelmed, but no, he just sweats so much that, no, it says he sweat drops of blood. And there are a couple other New Testament passages that talk about it. It's called hematosis. It's when you're under so much grief, so much pressure, that your blood vessels burst and blood comes out your pores. That's how much pressure he was, because the sinless Son of God, who had never sinned for all eternity, would very soon be bearing our sins on him. And as the human part of him, it was overwhelming. But he was determined, out of love for us, he would go to the cross. And it's interesting, when you go to Hebrews 5, it says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard and that he feared it. The Bible talks about, in the Gospels, there's three times that Jesus cried for or wept for something. One was his friend Lazarus. He knew he would be raising Lazarus from the death within a matter of moments, but he shared his friend's grief. He identified with them. The effect of sin is that death is in the world. The wages of sin is death. But he knew he was come to pay that debt, but he still identified everything his friends were going through. Another time is Luke 19, where he wept over Jerusalem, his city, his people, but they rejected him. Then he promised or foretold about the coming destruction when Jerusalem would be destroyed. And then this is the third time that he wept. But he wept for the sin of the world. He wept for the weight of sin, the cost of sin that he would soon be bearing. And then it says, and when he rose up from prayer, was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And then the rest of the passage goes on to say is, you know, basically, time to get up. My accusers come, you know, here's the person that, you know, here's Judas to lead him away. And this is one interesting passage in Hebrews 12. It talks a little bit about the bloodshed again, but from a different perspective. You look at the end of it all, and this was Christ's attitude, why he went through all that for us. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He knew what the end result would be. He didn't like going through it, but he knew what would come out of it, and he knew it was necessary to save us. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. The battle was so strong, like I mentioned, that other verses, that he sweat drops of blood for that. Now I'm going to read the poem, and just think about it. If you've never heard the gospel before, or it's been a while since you thought about it, meditated on what Jesus went through, put yourself in this place and just think about it. I wonder, what were you doing on the day my Savior died? Were you standing afar off as he hung there crucified? Were you cheering with the crowd as they scorned and mocked at him? Or were you kneeling at Jesus' feet, mourning for your sin? I wonder, what were you doing when they whipped and beat my Lord? When they led him to the cross, where in death his soul was poured? When the blood that he was shedding pooled down around your feet? I wonder, weren't you curious when he didn't bow in defeat? I wonder, what were you doing when they laid Christ in the tomb? Were you grieved that his life was over, that it ended all too soon? Were you overwhelmed and anguished when they rolled the stone in place? Or was there a bright spark of hope, a stirring of simple faith? I wonder, what were you doing on the day my Savior rose? Were you trusting him or doubting him? I guess God only knows. As you recalled God's promises and saw his tomb opening, was your soul moved in awe when out came the King of Kings? I know what I was doing. I was jeering with the crowd. I was standing with the Pharisees, self-righteous and proud. Then I heard the gospel, how it was for my sins that Jesus died. Then stricken and convicted, I turned to the crucified. I wonder, what was your response when you heard Christ died for you? Did you reject the good news and close blinded eyes to this view? Or did you worship him when you beheld his pierced hands inside? I wonder, what were you doing on the day my Savior died? Thank you.